afternoon, everybody. This is Chris. I'm joined here with Pastor Matt Shantz.
Yes, sir.
And Pastor Eldon Fair.
Hey, everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is our first podcast.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's our first podcast for 2017. So there's just the three of us today, boys.
That's right.
The three of us.
But do you guys want to say anything to the listening audience about 2017? Did you guys make resolutions?
Fresh start.
It's a fresh start. Did you guys make resolutions this year? Are you resolution type guys?
I am. I'm not a huge resolution person, but I do press the reset button on some of my poor attempts at good habits and give it another go.
Good call.
Yeah. So I'm going to the gym. It's still early January, yeah. So there's plenty of time to
trying to form new habits.
Yep. Get that habit back. Started a Bible reading plan over again. So
it's good.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest. I'm waiting for the cold weather to disappear so I can get out more outside.
Yeah. Well, you can get out.
Lame excuse, hey? Lame excuse.
Terrible. Did you ever go bobsledding?
No. Nope.
Do you bobsled, Eldon?
You're not running. You're not going for runs on the ice? Come on.
No.
Come on.
I hurt myself doing both, bobsledding and running. So it's terrible.
I guess that's what happens as you get older, eh?
I like the word goals. Goals.
Goals. That's
resolutions is good, but Marcy and I, we choose a date between our birthdays, which mine was yesterday, hers is on the 21st. So we go away somewhere for a night or for a dinner. And we just talk about some of the things we want to accomplish in the new year. Five different areas. We try not to set too many. But I think if you set zero, you'll attain zero.
Yeah.
If we set 10 goals, we might make 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole lot more than zero.
Right. So what is behind liking the word goals instead of resolutions? I have noticed people don't like the word resolution. I find more and more people don't like this concept of resolutions anymore. Just because they typically don't get fulfilled, I guess. And so, but goals is good. What would the difference be? I don't know.
People who fail miserably at resolutions just hate resolutions.
That's right. You know? That's pretty much the deal.
Well, resolution to resolve to do something, probably stronger language.
Yeah.
It's like taking a goal and then saying, I commit to doing this.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of the same.
So then if you fail, you feel bad about yourself.
We want to soften our...
Isn't that the goal?
Yeah, there's the goal. That's the resolution, actually. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. But
I don't understand.
But yeah, what we were talking about earlier, just how resolutions have kind of from old Christian saints of the past, mm-hmm. like Jonathan Edwards, he wrote down 70 resolutions.
Yes.
Was that like a New Year's thing? Or
No, it was over the course of a couple years. I think he was in his 20s.
Yeah.
And I read them and I'm just blown away, right? Like,
I'll bet none have to do with food or exercise.
None of them do. None of them have to do with kale.
Yeah.
None of them have to do with
your diet.
None of them have to do with gym membership or juice cleanse.
Are you going to go on a juice cleanse, boys? Or no?
Maybe.
Juice cleanse this year?
I don't know. But his resolutions, 70 of them, I read them and I think, like, I'm blown away by the level of just deep hunger for faithfulness. So a few of his resolutions are things like resolve that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and to my own good, profit, and pleasure. Like, I'm resolved to do what will bring God the most glory. Like, that's a resolution of mine. Like, that's staggering.
Yeah, very deep.
It really is. Resolve to act in all respects, both speaking and doing, as if nobody had been so vile as I. Resolve to examine carefully and constantly what that one thing in me is that causes me in the least to doubt the love of God.
Mm.
And so direct all my forces against it.
Mm. Wow.
That's stunning.
There's some ideas and even thoughts there that are so out of step with even our Christian experience, even the way we understand our Christian experience. Like, I can even hear him there talking about this idea of mortification of sin,
right?
Killing sin in his life, whatever stops him from giving God glory in his life, Wow, what a resolution.
Yeah.
That's different than the way we make resolutions today, isn't it, there, boys?
Yeah, there's real depth there. It's inspiring. It shouldn't discourage us like crazy. It should inspire us to Christ-likeness. I sense in him this taking an inventory regularly. If I were to summarize his resolutions, an inventory regularly of his sin.
Yeah,
just resolved to, like, when he puts his head down at night, and then this also a resolution to think about and grow in and dwell on the glory of God, mm-hmm. His word and his goodness. And so it's the two things, like filling ourselves with the word and the spirit,
yeah,
and taking an inventory and repenting of the those kinds of things, yeah, that make us fail. And mm-hmm. and wouldn't you know that by mm-hmm. giving ourselves to those kinds of things, there will be real fruitfulness and growth in the Christian, yeah, walk. And so,
yeah,
I read those just before New Year's. That's and good. It caused me to, yeah, I think a little more deeply, mm-hmm. about some of my, you know, I think resolutions, I think kind of trying to create healthy habits and routines,
yeah,
and live that kind of God glorifying, yeah, way. So,
and a new year really marks a great time to kind of start out fresh, you know, and to think ahead of the new year. I like what you're saying there, Eldon, about goals and habits, and those are good words.
Yeah. The gym is more full in January. Yeah, the church is more full in January. All kinds of great intentions. Yeah. But
yeah,
it's pretty funny.
No, that's good. And speaking of habits, I know we're encouraging people to get on, you know, a daily Bible reading plan if they can. Mm-hmm. We have the Robert Murray McShane plan people can use, or there's lots of other plans we've suggested on our website.
Yes.
What do you guys find effective for your daily Bible reading? Do you like to, I know, like for myself, I think the first time I ever did a daily Bible reading, I did a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament a day. Now there's these plans out there where, I mean, you've got four different kind of readings a day. You've got, maybe it's a little bit of Psalm, a little bit of Proverb, yep, Old Testament, New Testament.
Yep.
Some plans are just chronological. You start from Genesis, you go all the way through. What do you guys find effective for yourselves, and what would you recommend to others?
Yeah, personally, I recommend the McShane Bible reading plan, but there's others like it, right? I'm using it's just called the 1 year Bible plan. I through the Bible app, or yeah, Holy Bible app. I don't know. I don't normally use it, but I'm using it for this reading, and I'm actually letting it, I'm actually letting it read to me. I'm pressing the audio button, and then I'm following along,
that's good,
scrolling with it and reading it as it goes. It has a better pace at a better, yeah, clip than I, yeah, can read, you know, and glean. So I'm doing both of those things. And I do like the variety of typically, it starts with a psalm. And so it starts it devotionally. It starts with an honest cry from the psalms, prayer to God. Mm-hmm. And I really love that it starts with a psalm. It works its way to, at this point, it's in Matthew in the gospel. And then it works its way to, like, I think three chapters in Genesis. Yes. So you're kind of really going for it. But I like that variety. And so when you hit Leviticus and Numbers, you're, mm-hmm, still getting some tastes of other things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. You get through the Psalms a couple times. I think the whole New Testament a couple times, the rest of the Old Testament once in a year. So
yeah,
it's good. It's not the only dose. Like it's helpful to have that, but that's at a quick clip, and yeah, you're hearing the story of the Bible, which is really helpful in its own right. It's helpful as well to find a space and time in the day where we can to meditate on God's word.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just one little section from something we read that day in the Bible reading plan, or something different entirely, like reading through the book of Acts or whatever at a different time and just going slowly or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple devotionals I like to read. For a few years straight, I just over and over again would read Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. Mm. Just little snippets, easy, yeah, to read, very quick, but so rich. And this year, though, this past year, the last number of months, started to read New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. Just gospel saturated. Just a quick page to read, but just fixes your eyes on the gospel. So, yeah, so good. So really enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a couple. a couple things for me, and then I'm usually preaching something, so then I'm dwelling on that passage as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so,
exactly. That's good. What about you, Elton?
I like variety in a different sense, not so much jumping to different sections of Scripture, but doing different approaches and with different people. So like I use, like I have the Daily Bible app on my phone, which, so you wake up to a daily verse, right?
Right.
So it's a good way to start your day to meditate on mm-hmm. one verse of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And if you scroll to the right, then there's all of these devotionals, probably 12 different authors from very modern to old that you can work through. But I like to do the devotional thing with my wife. So we'll pick a devotional thing for couples or whatever and do that together. But then as far as like getting into the Word, I'll, instead of taking different sections of Scripture, I'll just choose probably to focus on one section, like the Gospels or, mm-hmm. you know, the Pentateuch or some of Paul's epistles, and work through them slowly. And really like take a chapter and just kind of stop and pray and say, God, what does this mean? And take some notes and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important. You know, it's interesting. You guys say have two different approaches, and I think everybody probably needs to just take stock and say, well, in this season of my life, this year, thinking about my personality, my schedule, all these, there's lots of factors.
Totally.
What's the plan that works best?
Yep.
And, you know, there's no right answer.
Everybody's different.
Everybody's so different. Yeah, I find the need for variety a lot. Sometimes I've started a plan, you know, where it's, I'm just in one book for a long time, and I find myself getting antsy. And I need to have a little bit of some different readings in a day is really helpful for me.
They call that ADHD?
I think so. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'm definitely in that category somewhere. I'm undiagnosed, but,
I do get, like, going back to the resolutions things, like I get what you're saying. Like we try to, oh, I'm going to bite off this much, and then it's so much, and then you feel like a failure, and then you toss in the towel. If we can simplify it so much as to say, like, do what you can to get into God's word daily, whatever that means, you know, that's just a really helpful. So some people are very disciplined and they'll do some of the stuff that we're talking about here, but open the Bible, spend time with Jesus, hear from his word. That's how we hear from God primarily is the Bible is his words to us.
Yeah.
Let him speak to you each day in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Open the Bible and read and hear from him. So
a follow-up question to that would be the kind of the why question. So am I reading my Bible every day out of a sense of this is what God commanded me to do, so this is a duty? What are some reasons that you guys would see for... What are some that would speak to motivations for why am I doing this every day? Like, you know, if you start with this resolution or this goal of I want to get up in the morning and I want to read my Bible first thing, you know, day five comes, you're super tired, you really don't want to do it that day. What is the driving force behind daily Bible reading? What's the danger if we're not in that habit? Right.
Great question.
Well, we lose our way. That's the way I look at it. I go to what Scripture says about itself. So Psalm 119 says, you know, that God's word is a light to our path.
Yeah.
So pretty soon if you turn that light off, then you find yourself going off the path, right?
Yeah. Right.
That, I mean, it's good motivation just to stay on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we may assume in the midst of that we are Christian, that we are faithful, that we are followers of Jesus, and yet when we're not in the Word, which lights our path, we have these assumptions that we are walking with Jesus closely, but we're actually just trusting our own instinct, our own thoughts, and the Bible tells us that we are depraved in nature, and we are needy. So 2 Timothy 3, right, this is a great passage to memorize, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So there's lots of profit right there, that the man or woman of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. So the Bible makes us competent in ministry and living for Jesus, and it has all kinds of profits. So All of Scripture. That statement is so robust. But the whole Bible, God's word to us, let him speak to you, and it will be profitable in every sphere of life.
I love when Jesus is in the desert and he's tempted by Satan, and to turn the stone into bread. And his response is, he quotes Deuteronomy and says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And I find with the daily Bible reading, it is the picture of bread is really helpful for me with the daily habit of, well, I got to eat bread every day, or I have to eat every day. I need spiritual food every day as well. Just personally, because I am a Christian, because God has changed my heart and I now belong to him, when I skip listening to his voice, and if I do that for a few days, I feel it. I really feel it. I start to feel more stressed. I don't realize how much my mindset is being shaped by my environment rather than by God's word. And when I come back to it, man, it is perspective. And dealing with my sin, you know, if there's been sin that I haven't been dealing with, that starts to weigh me down. You're right. You go off the path, like Eldon said. Yeah. So
that's good. A great reference that you make to Jesus' temptation, because in every instance, he quotes Scripture. The Son of God is quoting the Word of God back to Satan, and therefore does not give in to temptation.
Right.
And he is, of course, our example, and gives us the abilities. We want to fight sin and temptation. We want to walk closely with the Lord, right? There's this knowledge of the Word that actually helps us in battle, in the spiritual battle. And so we want to have his Word on our hearts and word on our lips. And
it's good. Well, also as a New Year's kind of, not resolution so much, but something I know we did this last year, is we kind of had this renewed focus as a church on, you know, our mission as a church. Pastor Nate spoke a couple of weeks ago about the mission. But related to that, and the issue of discipleship, is the issue of baptism. You know, baptism is a huge part of being a disciple of Jesus, having been baptized. And also related to that is this issue of belonging to the local church. So, what's coming up here, boys, in terms of our calendar? And we have some we want to have some baptisms again this year, some dates for baptisms, and we want to talk around the issue of what is baptism, why is it important, why should someone do it? So maybe I'll just start with, what's coming up for us as a church?
Yeah, February 5th, Sunday, February 5th, both campuses. The plan is to have a baptism ministry partnership Sunday. And so what that entails is all of those wanting to take the step of baptism, have that's the next available opportunity to take that plunge, and ministry partnership as well, which is the language we use for membership. Ministry partnership, it goes both ways. There are benefits to the believer, and there are benefits to the church, benefits to the body. So it's this mutual ministry, mutual accountability. So we call it ministry partnership. We're in this thing together. Mm-hmm. That's our terminology for what some other churches call membership. So that's the next opportunity to do so. And they really are core foundational aspects of the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. Some might argue against that, especially ministry partnership belonging to a local church these days, but it is really hard to read your Bible and conclude anything but those two things. Mm-hmm. Jesus commands baptism. Yeah. Jesus himself was baptism. So we want to follow his example, we'll get baptized. He tells us to do it. And so if we want to follow Jesus obediently, we'll get baptized. Right. And then, of course, the church, the Great Commission is one of making disciples and baptizing mm-hmm. them. And so we give ourselves to that. So just really deeply biblical, just this idea that that baptism should take place. And maybe we'll start there a little bit more. But Eldon, what would you add about baptisms coming up on February 5th? What would you say to people who maybe have not been, and encourage them to do it?
Well, obviously, I'm looking for another good reason to set up that tank there in Agassiz. Shout out to Agassiz, but Central Wide. Yeah, like Pastor Matt already said, baptism is something that it's a command of Jesus. It's an essential part of our discipleship and following him in obedience. He modeled it. The early church did it. The early church, we see at least on five separate occasions, there was people believed the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. They repented of their sin. They were baptized, and they were added to the church. Mm-hmm. It was a pattern. And I want to read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because..." Oop, hang on a second here. I'm going to back up a little
bit. I just want to point out what an amazing job you just did at summarizing that whole thing. They're added to the church, yeah.
Yeah, well, they were... Okay, I'm going to back up a little bit. "For just as the body is one and has many members, so also the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit." So when we were baptized into Christ, we were automatically baptized into his body. You can't separate Christ from his body. Mm-hmm. And so water baptism, which is symbolic of our being baptized into Christ and into the church, I think it's just wrong to separate the two. Right. I think when you become a member of Christ, you automatically become a member of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And water baptism symbolizes all of that.
Yeah, right.
And it's just an essential thing to do.
So you would reject this idea of, hey, I want to go get baptized, you know, find a church that does that. Maybe it is the church I'm attending, but well, I don't really want to become a member or a partner of that church. What would be problematic about that?
Well, people say, you know, the church is universal. So in one sense, when you're baptized, you are baptized into the body universally. Right. Yeah. But, you know, the pattern still is in the early days of the church. I mean, that pattern was set for us. You're baptized and they join the church. Wherever you're baptized, you're committed to that local group of believers and became an essential functioning member of that body.
What do you say to people who maybe they say, well, you know, yeah, but back then they weren't handed a package and they had to attend a class, and now there's all these steps that I have to do in order to get baptized. And, you know, what's with that? Like, it seems like when I read the New Testament, people just believe and they were baptized. And why don't we have that simple process anymore? Why don't we do spontaneous baptism? You know, it gets into all of that that argument. So what would be the argument for, hey, filling out this paperwork, you know, that talks about ministry partnership and baptism, about your beliefs, you know, going through the step of being recorded on video of your testimony, and what's behind all of that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot there.
That's a big question.
There's a lot there.
I really threw a big one at you.
So, yeah, baptism identifies a Christian with Jesus and the local church. Anyone who believes Jesus, has given their life to Jesus and hasn't been baptized, should get baptized. As a church, we want to do a couple of things. We want to make the process to baptism streamlined enough that we're not getting in the way of a genuine believer taking this step of faith that they should take. We also want it to be enough of a process that as those who lead in the church, that shepherd and watch it and care for it, and are adding them into the church family as ministry partners when they get baptized, we're also trying to ensure that to the best of our ability, we're able to hear a confession of faith that's genuine, that understands the gospel for their own good, that they are understanding what's going on. We don't want to just baptize cultural Christians who don't really get the gospel, live out the gospel, have fruitful lives. And so we want there to be enough of a process that we can just walk that through, hear the story of faith, get a sense that they both understand it and want to live for God. And so both streamlined enough not to be a roadblock to people that want to get baptized, but enough of a process that we're not blindly and even unwisely giving people a false sense of assurance of faith. If I get baptized, so we can do this as legalists, or we can do this as religious people. If I get baptized, then I'm saved. Well, baptism is an evidence of a transformed life.
Yeah.
Jesus gives us this image, this picture of dead to sin, alive to Christ. This is what he's accomplished in our hearts already. Mm-hmm. Now we show it to the church that we're being grafted into visibly through the act of baptism. So we try to do those two things. I know that process can get so bogged down. Ours, I think, is quite streamlined. 3 to 4 times a year, we do baptism Sundays. There's a rather quick process, mm-hmm. But I think that there's enough of a process that we're also able to encourage this person in their faith, connect with them. It helps us shepherd people well because it's an opportunity to get to know them a bit more, encourage them, hear their faith, encourage them in those core doctrines, and off they go. So that's what we're trying to accomplish in it without getting in the way.
And in a culture like ours, it's good for us to help people start well, even just like beyond just getting, you know, beyond baptism, that they're being launched into the church family, and we've been able to have these conversations with them about the gospel, about what that means, what being a disciple is going to look like for them mm-hmm. going forward. I was just thinking of this verse in Romans 6 about baptism, where Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So just a little bit of a verse there on baptism and what it means. And so switching over to partnership then, being part of the local church, why is that important? Is why can't I just sort of float around, you know, hey, I'm part of the universal church, I'm a Christian, but I don't belong to a particular, you know, local church? Is this a problem?
J.I. Packer said you can't live the real Christian life except as part of the church. Tell J.I. he's lying.
That's pretty bold.
tell Jim Packer he's lying.
I don't know
lying.
If I want to tell J.I. Packer that he's lying, but yeah.
So what Packer is saying is, as he reads the New Testament and just looks, read epistle after epistle, right? Like letter to church after church after church. Like these are local bodies in particular cities. As he reads it, he concludes you can't live the real Christian life except as part of the church.
Right. How do you perform any of the love one another's, the serve one? How do you do any of the one another's? We did a series on this a little while back.
Well, even that
how
passage,
do you do them
even without that passage the church? That you just read there, Chris, on from Romans 6 is that, you know, baptism being symbolic of death. Well, first of all, identifying with the death of Christ, but then being symbolic of putting ourselves to death.
Mm-hmm.
We often limit that just to acts of sin.
Right.
But we're also putting to death ourself, like individualism.
It's good.
It means that I can no longer do this by myself. Right. I'm putting myself to death. That's I need really others good. To walk this this journey with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what Hebrews 10 tells us. Right, let us consider how to stir up one another to love mm-hmm. and good works, mm-hmm. not neglecting to meet together, mm-hmm. as is the habit of some, right. but encouraging one another. I mean, there's so much there.
Yeah.
The routine gathering together, considering how to stir up one another, encourage one another. This mm-hmm. is an arm in arm kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I read something recently by Eugene Peterson where he was talking about becoming a pastor and not really loving his church that much, like not really loving the people a ton until he really understood that the Christian life is one of being in this together,
right.
like the authentic Christian life. And so he reflected on that and Jesus kneeling and washing feet and then praying. He goes from washing disciples' feet in John to praying this high priestly prayer. And really he talks about the fact that it's serving and praying mm-hmm. for one another. It's church and the Christian life is one of ministry, arm in arm, side by side. Mm-hmm. And it just can't, the commands of Scripture to Christians in the church, like just like it cannot be worked out.
Yeah.
You cannot accomplish half of what you're being told to do, but in the context of the church. I know that that's a competing belief for many in our kind of individualistic age. Like hey, me and Jesus, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't need this. I don't need the tradition. I don't need, right, these systems or these structures, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a temptation not to to live in it. Yeah. But I discover from experience that church is good for my soul, like being a part of the family, yeah. because there's accountability yeah. there. There's yeah. nourishment there. Mm-hmm. There's not just what I'm gleaning from the Bible, but there's what others are gleaning from the Bible. There's not just me praying for me. There's others praying for me, and on it goes. Like, and so, yeah, it's really critical. Yeah,
it's good. I've found as I've talked to a lot of people about membership and partnership, and, you know, we'd look into maybe some verses, and, you know, sometimes there's still a hesitancy because a past experience, like, they were part of a church where there was spiritual abuse even, or maybe they came out of a cult of some kind. I've met some people like this where they're suspicious about signing up for something, mm-hmm. Where now I'm under this leadership, or how do you guys walk people through that? Or, I mean, someone listening even who maybe that's been their situation and they're a little bit gun shy about, you know, that maybe they're like, hey, I kind of see what you're saying, but we'll see, you know, still signing the papers and like, what am I doing there? What am I committing to here by actually doing that?
That's the value of the, excuse me, the process of baptism and ministry partnership. It's for you to be able to understand what it is you're committing to. Understanding your salvation, what does baptism mean, but also yep. the church and its structure and its leadership. You get to know us. We get to know you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice by bypassing that whole process, mm-hmm. getting involved in a church that you don't know what you're getting involved in, and then getting hurt there.
Right.
So, I mean, there's due diligence for everyone. We want to do our due diligence as church leaders to help you understand, what is this faith? What is the church? How can you do the one anothering with us? And you do your own due diligence in getting to know who we are. Mm-hmm. And doesn't mean people don't get hurt in the church. Yeah. We get hurt in relationships. It happens. But we yeah. also are healed in relationships.
Yeah, right.
That's critical. Mm-hmm. And so a church is part of your healing as well, mm-hmm. right? And, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
do you just stay away from everything because you're going to get hurt? I mean, right. you'd never drive a car. You would never run on icy streets. You would mm-hmm. never, you know, all of that. You got to engage.
Yeah, that's good.
So.
That's good. Yeah, yep. good word. Well, we've got baptism and ministry partnership coming up again. What date? What was the date on that again?
February 5th.
February 5th.
Hey, I hear this from time to time. Give me your thoughts on this, you guys. Some people in our church don't want to get baptized or don't want to become ministry partners because there's something standing in the way, and that is their fear of having to share their story.
Mm.
Be in front of the church, whether it's on video or in the baptism tank. And that can be a scary thing, right? Yeah,
like for sure.
Jerry Seinfeld said the scariest thing for people to do is public speaking.
Yeah.
And the second scariest right. thing is death.
That's right.
So they'd rather be giving the eulogy. They'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy at a funeral.
That's famous. Classic. That's a classic.
Right so there. How do people, to be faithful to Jesus, to be obedient in yeah. these things and having a genuine desire to take these steps, but a fear of that. Sometimes I'm asked, can I just skip the testimony?
Yeah.
Can I not
yeah.
share the story? What would you say? How do we, you know, in an understanding way, recognize that fear?
Mm-hmm.
It's a legitimate fear. And I think we've tried to meet people in the middle here at Central in that fear. Because getting up in front of hundreds of people is not for everybody to speak live. Mm-hmm. And so we've made it a bit easier and not let you off the hook entirely, but you still have to sit down with one or two or three people and share your story, confess your belief in Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, your commitment to the body of Christ. All along, the video camera is rolling. Later, it gets edited, cleaned up, and then, in a sense, you're sharing publicly when that is shown to the whole church. So we're trying to meet you in the middle there. Plus, it really saves on a lot of time as well.
Yeah.
But it's essential. Like Christ said, you need to confess your relationship, your belief to me, And that includes the body. If you're going to commit to Christ, which is what part of baptism is, you're identifying with not only his death, but his resurrection, Christ. You're committing to his body. So, Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father.
Right.
Baptism is a good way to confess your relationship before all kinds of people. So it's critical that you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to take some of the fear out of that.
Yeah, that's good. Good word.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. We try and make it as casual as we can and have about 10 or 15 minutes of talking, and then we turn that into 2 minutes of edited video. So we take a lot out of that. But it is important. It's important to hear that confession of faith. And the reality is even those who are, you know, a little fearful of doing the video camera thing do enjoy watching the stories of others.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all do.
Like, totally, I love them.
All of us love to hear story. Like, and stories of faith here at Central, they're Jesus stories. Jesus is the hero every time. This is how Jesus changed my life. This is how Jesus changed my life. There's a little bit different to each one because God has met us in a particular way. But it's so edifying. You have no idea. I hear over and over and over again, just these are many people's favorite Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just Pastor Matt up there yet again.
Yeah.
Preaching the sermon, but it's the body of Christ getting to share their stories with each other. And there is something really special about that. I've really grown to love these Sundays here at Central and the opportunity to hear the stories of faith, witness people be baptized, hear the cheering. Like this is fruitful, amazing, really cool ministry. So
that's really important. The church.
Yeah, absolutely. So, final encouragements. I think ministry partnership is a tougher case to make than baptism, right?
Yeah.
Eldon,
do you agree with that? Eldon, I saw your eyes there. I saw. I think Eldon thinks
that ministry partnership is a tougher case to make than baptism. Good.
You know, this may be the first tension that we have on this podcast.
Let's do it.
We
need a little bit of healthy tension. Let's do it.
Yeah, this is good.
In a sense, it's true, but we need to take that out of there. Like you can't separate baptism and belonging to a local church. You just can't.
Yeah, you're a good old MB boy, there, Eldon. this has been the MB position, though. I think.
Oh, totally. But it's not just an MB confession. To me, it's just so biblical. Yeah. I will go to every passage in Scripture on baptism and the church and how they're just inseparably linked.
Yeah,
they just are.
Yeah.
So you got to belong.
Yeah.
The case I make for ministry partnership a lot is you becoming a ministry partner benefits others. Because it says, I'm in this, I'm committed, I'm in this thing. It says, I'm committed to encouraging a particular group of people week in and week out, I'm in. But it's also not only for other people's good, it's for our own good too. Because we get the benefit of having others around us who are committed, who are in, who are saying yes to investing in us. And then it's also for the good of your leaders, and I made this case in the belonging series by saying there is a call on leaders in the church and elders to shepherd the flock.
Yeah.
And the question we have to ask in a culture that doesn't just have one church in Ephesus, like, you know, it did, but it has 40 churches in Chilliwack or whatever it is. The question we ask is, well, who are the sheep that we are to shepherd if we are to shepherd the flock? And the way that we know is by understanding who has said, yeah, I'm in. And the way that we know people are saying I'm in is by becoming ministry partners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's tied to baptism,
tied
to membership. And from there we can say, okay, these are those who are saying I'm here. I'm a part of this body. And so it's really helpful for leaders. It clarifies it. And the final piece, although there are many others, but the other point of emphasis that I often make is that it's for the good of those outside of the church. So in such a non-committal kind of a culture where more is being asked of us in joining a spring beer league softball team than most churches today, it's quite countercultural, it's quite unique, and it's quite compelling And it's a powerful witness to see a group of people committed to Jesus and committed to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually is for the good of those outside the church as well. So for others in the church, for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
for our leaders and those outside the church, pretty compelling reasons, I would say.
Yeah, well said.
So we would love to see, love to have more baptisms this year. Mm-hmm. If you've given your life to Jesus, consider yourself a Christian, following him. I love the line in Come Ye Sinners, if you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Mm-hmm. We think, I need to clean up this area of my life or this area of my life. But Chris, you've said this, which is baptism is very much an entry point, right?
Yeah.
It's okay, I want to follow Jesus and I'm giving my life, I believe the gospel,
mm-hmm.
get baptized.
Yeah.
Like there's not so much more that needs to be accomplished in you before that, because it's an entry point to the faith.
Yeah.
An opportunity for you to say, I want to be obedient to Christ, and a very practical thing that you can go and do. And we would love to see that be a part of that. See you baptized, see you really truly become a part of the family through ministry partnership, and just can't encourage it enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can just say from personal experience that becoming a Christian, getting baptized, the idea that I would not be part of my local church just never entered my mind, you know, after I was converted. It just was so natural that, man, I got, like, God has done so much for me. I just want to be around him and his people all the time. And it just was it's been nothing but benefit. I have found being part of a local church and being in submission to leaders who sometimes have to correct me and even speak into my life. It's all been for my benefit. And I just know this is more as a personal testimony. Being part of a local church has just been nothing but a gift in my life. And I'm sure you guys would probably echo that.
Yeah.
So there is a benefit, you know, you are cared for more. You are, you get to be around your family. You know, if we're really a church family, you get to be around your brothers and sisters, in a more robust way, I would say. So, I guess we'll wrap this up here, boys. This is our first podcast of 2017.
Yeah.
I think we talked about some good stuff. And, so what's the silly resolution that you have? We'll end with that.
The silly resolution. Well, after Nate Bursey's comments, I'm thinking of not wearing as skinny jeans anymore. So maybe my resolution will be regular fit jeans.
Our guest, Pat Preacher, Nate Bursey, really made fun of Matt's skinny jeans the other week. So
I told him if he gains a few LBs, you know, his regular fits might start to look like skinny jeans. So he better watch himself.
You got some good nature ribbon going on. How about you, Eldon?
Haven't thought through them enough.
You haven't thought through. Eldon.
Well, they're all serious ones. I've thought through them. But
do you have any food-related resolutions, Eldon? Do you have any foods you want to try this year? Eldon really likes food.
Any free lunches you're trying to get in on this year?
That's a great resolution.
More free lunches for Eldon Ferry.
That is 2017.
I got a lunch waiting this afternoon.
That's why you were trying to rush us. I knew it.
It's good.
I wanted
thank
to
you
squeeze
guys.
An appointment in between. Anyway. To make some homemade pasta.
I'm trying to wrap things up here, Eldon.
Do you have a silly
wrap
goal?
Do I have? Oh, you're going to flip it back on me. A silly goal for the year? I don't know. See, wow. I do this
you
all
threw
the time.
Out a question
I throw
and
out
had
questions.
Nothing.
I have nothing. I do that to people all the time.
Unbelievable.
So I'm sorry about that. But maybe work on a better impression.
I have three motorcycling goals.
What's a really distinct voice that you could work on?
I'd like to try to do Nicolas Cage this year. If I could try to impersonate Nicolas Cage.
All right,
Cage.
Everybody.
There's
keep
my silly
listening
resolution.
To the Central Podcast Show, because at some point this year, you are going to hear Chris take a stab at a Nick Cage
impression. I think I'm like halfway there
that's
right now.
That's a good
now,
teaser,
so
man. People are going to keep tuning in.
Nick Cage.
To hear.
Yeah. Awesome.
If you like a good
How
Nick
about we
Cage.
Do it before and after? Why don't you give it a go right now?
Okay.
And then you can try it.
I need a line to go. So why don't we build some rockets? Okay, so that was there's my Nick Cage for now. But we'll try to work on that.
You don't have
that.
Much work to go. That was awesome.
I can only say that.
Thanks, everybody.
Stay tuned.